Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused in that word of life ministered to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Come, give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that will bring healing and deliverance and power and peace to those that hear and believe it. Father, I thank you now. Father, I thank you for the encouragement. I thank you for the upbuilding and the uplifting of my head and those that are around me. Father, I thank you now. Thank you for the word of God to strengthen and sustain us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. But Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, cures us, covers us, and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. Father, do what you want to do in this service and to your people, to me. Father, thank you for the anointing that makes preaching easy. And once it's all over, God, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. Father, we will join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, to chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Want to use to today, this morning, a topic, title, tag, if you will, this message, and a subtitle. A lesson for life. It's kind of a, you know, it's going to be an instructional message, so, you know, you can take your seatbelt off. It's not going to be much turbulence. Amen. But the subtitle is Remembering What's First. Amen. Amen. So y'all won't be mad at me if I don't holler at you a little bit. Just, you know, I don't do it. If I don't do that, don't y'all be mad, okay? Amen. In perfect peace if we keep our mind stayed on him. But notice what he said. That he says, therefore, verse number 31, take no thought. Now, when he says, therefore, take no thought, I can go through all the Greek words with you to show you what it actually means, but I'll just tell you what it means. It means don't worry. He said, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these clothes. Don't worry about this money. Don't worry about what you have to eat. He said, take no thought. Don't worry. He said, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? We got to understand that we can't worry about these things because we can't fix them. We can't change them. We just have to wait on God. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that you can complete or do without him. Why? Because it is in him we live, move, and have our being. It is him that gives us breath. It is him that gives us life. The reason why I exist is because of him. And so when I take my focus off of him, that's just like taking a fish out of water. I'm subject to die sooner or later because I'm not connected to the one that gives me life. Y'all with me now? He said in the same chapter, John 15, he said, I am the true vine. There's some other stuff you might connect to that's fake, but I'm the real McCoy. I'm the real deal. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, the Father watches over the vine to make sure it produces what it's supposed to produce. He said that he prunes it. He pull off some stuff that shouldn't be there. Sometimes God removed things out of your life that shouldn't be there, and sometimes he removed people out of your life that shouldn't be there. But whatever God does is all right with me because it's good for my spiritual growth. It's good for my, I wish I had somebody in here. It's good for my life and I need it. There was a lady that was, said that she was about to die and they came to pray for her and they said, you believe that you'll live? She said, whatever God want to do. They said, well, what if God say you want to die? She said, whatever God want to do. He said, what if God say, what do you want? You know, he's, you know, Christian trying to get a right. She said, well, if God asks me what I want to do, I'll refer back to God and say, God, what you want? when we get to the place where we can trust God to say, God, I know whatever's best for me is in your hand and in your will and what your desires are. When we get to that place, we have truly come to a place of faith. We have truly come to a place where we trust God. God, I could tell you what I'd like to see, but I don't care about that. I want whatever you want from me. Trust in God. We say we trust God, but will we refer back to God and say, God, whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. See, he says that, look at what he says in verse 30. He says, he said, wherefore God clothed the grass of the field. God take care of the grass, and it still grows, and it still comes out in its season, and you don't want it to grow, but it keep growing. He says, which is the day tomorrow cast in the oven. He says, shall he not much more clothe you? And then look at what he said, oh, ye of little faith. He didn't say they didn't have any faith, because at least they believed in him. But they didn't trust that he could do what he needed them to, what they needed him to do. And that's the same way we are. We have little faith. We believe that he is, but we don't believe that he'll reward them that diligently seek him. Oh, the Bible says that in order for us to please God, we must first come to God and must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when we seek him diligently, that's not just every now and then. That's not seeking him when our show ain't on TV. Scandal, Empire. Oh, y'all with me? Yeah, I ain't coming to church because I'm watching my shows. Preach. You know, I'm just saying, you can't diligently seek God and there's some other stuff that you got before him. Boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, husband, wife, whatever you put before God, that proves that you're not diligently. I'm just telling you how the cow ate the cabbage today. That's not diligence. You say, oh, I seek God and I'm holy. You ain't. I know you ain't. You fooling your own self. I see God, and you go to church once a year. I can serve him at my house, watching televangelists on TV, and you get up, put your offering on the TV, then when you need it, you go back and say, church, I need it, and pull it back off TV. That ain't diligence. That's dumb. Amen. All right, I'm gonna get on out of here. I'm gonna get on. Y'all, don't get mad with me. I ain't talking about nobody. Tell somebody, say, he ain't talking about nobody. He's just talking about what he's talking about. All right, don't be mad with me. All right? Tight, but it's right. I'm going to take my time, y'all. Might as well just hang in there with me. Look at what he says. He goes in verse 31. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, all of that stuff. But the thing about it is, we got not only understand his providence, that he's able to supply our need, that he's able to give us what we need. He's able to protect us. He's able to clothe us. He's able to feed us. That's why he tells us when we pray, he said, this is how you ought to pray. He says that we ought to ask for our daily bread. That's why when they were in the wilderness, do you know that if they took more manna in the wilderness than they were supposed to, if they said, oh, I'm gonna take this for a late night snack, it would rot. Before they could eat it, they had to only take enough to eat at the moment. That was them relying on God for their daily bread. And many of us, we're trying to hold stuff, and we're trying to save it for later, and God letting the cankerworm eat it and the moth eat it, he's letting it rot because we're not using it the way he wants us to use it. Hallelujah. All right, now look, he says here. Now, I got to say this too because sometimes we try to say, oh, well, ain't no cankerworm and no moth eating. Let me tell you who the cankerworm is. That's the bill collectors that, you know, your late fees that you got to pay. Let me tell you something else. And I'm going to get out of the way with this money because I don't know why. Y'all messing with somebody getting mad with me over money. Y'all quit messing with me about this. But if you don't tithe, do you know God still gets his tithe? Because the plumber tithe. That's why he let your pipes get messed up. The mechanic tithe. Y'all want me to go a little further? They tithe. That's why he let your car get jacked up. He gets it. You can't hold nothing back from God. He said that it'll be like putting money in pockets and you got holes in it. He said it'll be like blow. He'll blow on it and just scatter. So okay, don't get mad with me about this money thing. This is God talking now. I didn't say anything that ain't back up with scripture. Now, I know this is a different Sunday. I know I ain't preaching like I normally do, but it's okay. All right. And so I'm trying to get finished so y'all won't be too mad with me. Skip over a few things. But look, he says, we got to understand first also the priorities. Look at this. He says, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Don't you know that God knows what you need? God is not ignorant. God is all-knowing. Amen. He is nothing hidden from him under the sun, nothing over the sun. There's nothing that God does not know. Do you know that God knows the end at the beginning? He knows the very end at the beginning. And even if you read the scripture, he said that you can't, he said you don't know. You know, he knows the very hairs on your head. He knows how many you got. I ain't got that many, but he knows exactly how many I got. But you know what else he says? That you can't change your stature. I know we talk about how, well, you can't make yourself no taller. But no, what if you read that in the Greek text, it means also that you can't expand your life. God knows exactly the day you're going to die. Preaching here. So you can't talk to God about trying to expand and get more days because he already know what day you're going to go out of here. He know what day he's going to come meet you. Amen? All right, let me go on a little further. He says, God knows what you need. Verse number 33 says this, and I'm almost done. I've just been talking to you. I know it's kind of boring, but hold on. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, notice what he said. We got to put some priorities and some things in priority. Amen? We got to actively seek God. The word seek is to actively go after or to actively pursue God. And we must actively, and you know what it means to be active? That's like somebody being part of a group. That means somebody being part of something. And they say, you know, I'm active because I keep up my dues. I keep up and I'm at the meetings. That's active. But when you're not active, that means that you're not present and you ain't always doing what you're supposed to that is required for you to be a part of that group. Come on and say amen. Are you an active member of the church? Yes or no? If I've been there, I'm active. If I ain't, I'm not active. Come on and say amen. And so what we got to understand is that when we are seeking God, we're actively seeking him. We are actively pursuing him. In other words, I'm in his presence on a regular. Preach. I'm always praying to him. I'm always talking to him. I'm always praising him. I'm always lifting him up. I'm always doing something to glorify him and to expand his kingdom. And so therefore, I am actively pursuing him. Y'all can say amen now. I ain't talking about money. So we got to seek him. Seek the kingdom. He said, seek ye first. So put the first thing in order. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Kingdom is the king's domain. It's where he rules, where he reigns. And so in order first to be able to seek the kingdom, you got to know the king. And if you don't, you got to become a subject to the king. And so we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt us in due season. We got to submit ourselves to God. And when we submit ourselves to God, the Bible says this, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Why in the world do we play into the devil's hand and not submit to God? First, we try to resist him with our might. We try to resist him with our words. We try to resist him with our prayer. But all I got to do is submit to God, and the devil will flee. And the word flee means that he'll hide from you because you're reminding him of Jesus Christ and the whipping he got on Calvary's Hill. I wish I had somebody in the house. We got to remember that if we submit to God and resist the devil, what does that mean? That means that I have to submit, give my all to God. I got to say, God, I'm yours and not my own. Come on and say amen. And I can resist the devil. Many times we got to understand that the enemy will try to come and take us captive, even in our own house, even on our own job. jobs. Somebody say, man, in our family, in our relationships, even in our body, he tried to capture us with diseases. But when you're in the kingdom of God, you can say, I'm free from that. You can say, I have salvation. I've been liberated from all of these things that the enemy might bring my way because I have submitted. I'm part of the kingdom. Now listen, when you're part of the kingdom, there are benefits that you get in the kingdom. Amen. You know, there's, for instance, there's a benefit if you're part of, you know, the United Kingdom. Miles Monroe said this. He said, if you're part of the United Kingdom, he said, there's some benefits you get. He said that in the United Kingdom, healthcare is free. He said, if you're in the United Kingdom, you can go to the doctor and you can get free healthcare. No money down, no money to pay when you leave. Free. He said, but if you're in the United States and you are a member of the United Kingdom, or a citizen of the United Kingdom, you get sick in the United States, you got to pay. Why? Because you're out of the domain. And we need to stay in the king's domain. We need to make sure we're in the place God wants us to be. We need to make sure we're subject to the king and we know him. As David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures and lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I'm subject to the king. I submit to God. I draw near unto God, and he draws near unto me. Y'all still with me? Yeah. Y'all sure y'all with me? Yeah. We got to understand the first thing, we got to be able to seek the Father, because when we seek the Father, that pleases him because it shows our faith. Our faith is in action. Without faith, we can't please him anyway. Amen. We can try to please him with actions, but that don't please him. It's faith that pleases him. When he sees our faith, amen, and our faith is, when our faith is put in action, that pleases him. Amen. He says that first thing we got to seek is the Father. But then when we seek the Father, we have to have faith. But then he also tells us not to worry about our future. Why? Because my future is in God's hand. Amen. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and not just him, but all his righteousness. I'm going to try to do what Jesus did. I'm going to try to live like Jesus lived. I'm going to try to love my neighbor as myself. I'm going to try to turn the other cheek. I'm going to try to give my enemy water when he's thirsty and bread when he's hungry. I know what you do to your enemies. Come on and say, man, you take your enemies to the circus because you pull out the clown suit and you start acting up. I wish I had a few people in here that was woke and understood what I'm saying. We got to try to do what God would have us to do. Seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. It ain't time for us to play and patty cake with the things of God, but we got to be full into it. We got to press our way into it. He said, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things is he talking about? Now, when we understand the priorities, then we have a promise. Preach. We have a promise. In other words, he will add, what will he add? God said that he will add food to us. Read the prior verses. Amen. Don't be worried about what you're going to eat. God said that he will add fitness to us. Don't be worried about how you're going to live. I wish I had somebody. But not only that, God said he'll add fashion to us. He said, don't be worried about what you're going to be wearing, your clothes. I wish I had somebody in the house that realized that God will do all the things that he said he would do. God will keep his promise. You, and you don't have to worry, because the Bible says that God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Do you know that whenever God says something that settles it, he's going to do exactly what he said? Are you bored with me today? But I just want to remind you that you don't need to be worrying. You don't need to be thinking about those things that might take you out, because if you remember to put the first thing first, if you remember life's lesson, everything that we do, God is teaching us a lesson. He's teaching us how to trust him. He's teaching us how to believe in him. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory be to God. When we start looking at God, not a liar. He won't tell you no stories. He's not here to fool you. He'll keep up his end of the bargain. And guess what? Even if you don't keep up your end of the bargain, I know I can't say that I've been everything I'm supposed to be. I can't say that I've done everything right. I haven't dotted all my I's nor crossed all my T's, but God somehow made it all right. I wish I had somebody in the house. I don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, but I'm willing to thank God and say, Lord, whatever happened tomorrow is all in your hands. Anybody put their life in God's hand today? Anybody say, Lord, it don't matter. Whatever you want to do in this season, go ahead and do it, but don't do it without me preaching here. Do I have anybody in the house that said, the Lord is my life and my salvation? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When my enemy come against me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell, because I'm trusting in the Lord. The host shall rise against me. I shall not fear. But one thing, come on, tell somebody one thing. One thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. I wish I had somebody in here that say, I'm just seeking God. I'm seeking him in the fullness of who he is. I want to know him in the firmament of his power. I want to know him in, I wish I had somebody. I want to know him in his suffering. I want to know him in the resurrection. However he wants me to know him, I want to know him. Anybody want to know Jesus? I want to know him, because when I know the king, I can get in the kingdom. If I can just show the king I'm submitted to him, he'll look at me as his subject. Do you know if something happens to you, if you're a citizen of a certain kingdom, then the kingdom has a responsibility to come and see about you. The kingdom has a responsibility to come and rescue you. I wish I had somebody in the house that realized that God won't let the devil take you captive, that God will come and see about you, that God will bring you out of the horrible pit. He'll take you out of the miry clay and place your feet on a rock to stay. Do I have anybody? Come on and shout glory here. Come on and give God praise. God will not, he's not slack concerning his promise. The Bible says that the promises of God are yea and amen. Do I have anybody that know what God said about you? He said that you'll be the lender and not the borrower. He said that you'll be a head and not the tail. He said you'll be above and not beneath. He said that you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. He'll be blessed when you come and blessed when you go. He said not only that, he said, but your children will be blessed. He said your bank account will be blessed. That's what God said. I wish I had a few people that said, I'm seeking the kingdom. I know God will answer. See, I love something about God. God is a God of multiplication. He'll multiply things in my life. God won't let me stay the same. Whenever I come to him, I leave with something. The Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Sound like I'm leaving with something. Come on and shout glory here. Come on and give God some praise. God will not lie. He promised us a long time ago that whenever the devil came, he said that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. But when Jesus came down, when he died on the cross, that was the bruise and the blow to Satan's head. Do I have any witnesses? He died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. He went down to hell, preached to the captives, came out of hell, back to the grave. And they say on the third day, they said it was early. Somebody say early. Early Sunday morning. It was early before the eggs hit the pan. It was early before the sun began to shine that he rose up from the dead with all power. Everybody know it. But not only did he promise that he'd give us salvation through Jesus, he said, I'm coming back again in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Do you know what that means? A moment is measured in the bat of an eye. As fast as you can bat your eye, you'll be caught up. Anybody want to be caught up? I want to be caught up. But if you're not caught up now, I'm caught up with him now, so I can be caught up with him later. Somebody say yes. Come on and give him praise. You got to stop worrying if you're going to pray. Don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. I wish I had somebody. Do you know that worry is an indication that you don't trust God? And God don't let people come in his presence that don't trust him. Do I have anybody that say, I got to stop worrying so I can get in God's presence? The reason why, when you start worrying, you're don't have peace is because you're not in his presence. The reason why you get all upset, get very emotional, don't know what to do, you can't eat and you can't sleep is because there's a disorder. And when you get peace, then God brings order. Do I have anybody that say, I need God to order my steps in his word? Somebody say yes. Come on and give him glory. Won't God fix it? When you can't fix it yourself, stop worrying. Tell your neighbor, grab one of them neighbors. Say, time to wake up. I know pastor put you to sleep, but I got a word for you. Don't worry. Start praying. Stop worrying. It's going to be all right. Tell your other neighbor. Say, neighbor, I got a feeling. I got a good feeling that everything, say everything, everything you're dealing with is going to be all right. I know they lied on you, but it's going to be all right. I know you feel lonely, but it's going to be all right. I know you've been sick, but it's going to be all right. I know you're heartbroken, but it's all right. Say it's all right. Won't God do it? Won't God fix it? Won't it be a heart fixer and a mind regulator? Won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Say yes here. I told you I wasn't going to holler, but I'm sure he's happy. Ain't nobody happy but me about what God said. He said in his word that no weapon formed against me will prosper. He said in his word that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Let me paraphrase. Every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing. Say yes. Say yes. I know you're ready to go. Come on and give him glory. Give God praise. Grab your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't worry. Remember the first thing. Seek God. It's going to be all right. Tell your other neighbor. Rock them and shake them. Shake them and rock them till they wake out of their sleep. And say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. Is he all right? Say yes. Say yeah. Is he all right? If he's all right, you ought to praise him. Don't wait till the battle. Don't wait till it's over. Shout now. Come on and say yes. Somebody here need to dance in advance. Raise your praise. Come on and glorify. Come on, magnify. Is he all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Hallelujah. Tell somebody. I'm through worrying about it. It kept me up last night, but I'm going home after church, and I'm going to give me a nap. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm putting it in God's hand, because if I can't do it, I know he can. Tell somebody else. There was a song sang. James Moore used to sing it. He said, if Jesus can't fix it, nobody can. Do you know it? I know he can fix it. There's another song. Trouble in my way. Had to cry sometime. Lay awake at night. But that's all right. Because I know. Jesus will. Anybody know he will? Say yeah. I'm trying to let you go. Anybody know he will? He will fix it. He'll fix it. The enemy attack your mind, but he'll fortify it. Won't he do it? Say yeah. He'll attack your body. He'll attack your children. But I heard grandmama say, Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Anybody here know that he'll be a fence? Not only that, but he'll be a bridge over troubled water. He'll be your water when you're thirsty. Bread, oh yeah, when you're hungry. Say yes. When it get hard and you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, he'll be your honey in the rock. Say yeah. Say yeah. He's all right. And he's all right. I know he's all right.